Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is my awesome co-host, Jim.
Howdy-ho!
So, for the first time in maybe a couple weeks, we don't have a guest this week. So, buckle up, people, because we're going to be going everywhere.
Strap in. It's going to be violent.
This is one of those. We do have a topic this week. We're going to talk about the physics used in various space games. But before we get to that, we're going to run through the news real quick, because I don't know if you guys have seen the site lately, but I've been just super busy. And so I updated the news for the first time today in like a week and a half. And there was like a ton of big and little crap. So
I wish that we could have the news on the website actually read by the GNN robot from Master of Orion 2.
I'd much rather have it read by NPR's Carl Kessel.
The robot.
Oh, yeah.
We could auto-tune him.
That would be great. I would love to see if we can get Carl.
He would be Kanye Castle.
Maybe if I go on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and see if I can win his voice, I could talk to him about that.
Yeah. But, so you listen to that too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm an infrequent consumer. It's like whenever I remember it. But honestly, NPR puts out so many good podcasts that if I just listened to those, that would crowd out everything else that
I only have time for two. I only have time for This American Life and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. If I try to do...
Yeah.
I used to do Car Talk, but now they're not new anymore, so there's no point. I don't think.
But it's cool they kept it in syndication and didn't just drop it.
That is cool, but it's like, I don't know. Like, it's like, since it's not new stuff anymore, I just can't get behind it. Anyway.
Can you imagine Car Talk if it was two guys talking about computers? Or answered like Leo Laporte and his clone but funny, right? Because those guys were funny. It was like almost a comedy show, but you'd actually learn something.
I wish I could be as funny as they are. Oh, they were, and they would laugh at themselves, which is part of the
of it. And it was clean funny, and that's a magical rarity these days.
Well, I just
because on a God knows I'm not
on a tangent. I just introduced my girlfriend to Jim Gaffigan, who is a very funny, clean comedian, and she cannot get enough, which is awesome.
That's the Hot Pockets guy, right?
Yeah, that guy. He's great. So let's talk about some news. First off, Void of Darkness launched its Indiegogo. It's not. I always want to say Indiegogo. I don't know why, but yeah, they launched.
I hope there's dancers, like the Indiegogo dancers that have.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
They launched their Indiegogo campaign, and they're looking for, I think, $5,000, which is pretty modest. I think it's $5,000. Let me check. Yeah, $5,000. They've already reached $200.
So what's Void of Darkness? What kind of game is that?
It's going to be, his inspiration is Starflight and something else. I forget. Starflight and something else. God darn it. Starflight. But the info, it's mostly Starflight. And so I've been following it for a little while. I have a beta of it, but I just haven't dug into it yet, sadly, because I have the attention span of a gnat. But,
hey, you want to ride bikes after this?
That never gets old. We get old. That doesn't get old. But,
I know. No, and as I get older, hopefully I'll just be ADD and forgetful.
You have an excuse now to be ADD. But,
exactly. I'll keep forgetting what I was.
But the developer has been putting out regular videos for weeks, and I've been watching the videos at least, and it's got a great little battle system, and it looks awesomely top-down adventure-y. So he's looking for $5,000 to help finish the game. But it looks pretty cool, so I'm excited about that. Hopefully we'll get more funding. It just started, I think, like yesterday, so it's got 34 days left. And it's one of those Indiegogo campaigns where it charges you, but if it doesn't reach its goal, you get a refund. So it's kind of like Kickstarter. Indiegogo also has the other thing. They have like two different versions of their campaign.
Is that how they fund their business? Is they get the money, they don't release it to the developer, right? But they're sitting on the money because they've collected it, so they're getting interest on it.
I don't know.
And then if they refund it back out, I bet they do if it sits in their bank account. If they pull it from your card but they don't give it to somebody, they're drawing interest on it. Which is cool. That might be, you know, that's their fee for being the middleman.
Maybe.
Unless they're also taking a cut.
Well,
then it's kind of, you can have either or.
Well, like, right? I was about to say, yeah, there's the other method of funding they do, which is like, even if it doesn't reach its goal, the developer, of the person who's running the campaign still gets to keep whatever money they raised. But that's not what this one is. So I think it's a little better. I prefer this. They call it a fixed funding campaign. So I prefer this because, you know, if it doesn't reach its goal, you get your money back. So it's less it feels like less of a risk. And like I said, if I didn't just pay for a PlayStation Vita, I probably would kick some money to this. But I still have a month, so if there's a paycheck in there somewhere I could put some money to this.
Oh my gosh, talking about losing money. Okay. MechWarrior Online.
Oh, did you
released they put up the Phoenix Project, right? There are some mechs. I haven't done it yet. I'm waiting. They're revealing a mech a day. I was already sold when they said the Locust was in. So they've got the previously unseen mechs that do not conflict with the Harmony Gold license. If it was a Robotech thing, you're not getting it yet, which is unfortunate because the Warhammer is my favorite mech. So, you know, cry me a river. But the problem, what they did is they put out a source book in 2003 that brought some of the lawsuit affected mechs back. They just redid the art for them, and then they were allowed to keep the name, and it vaguely resembles what it was. So these guys at Piranha Games have gone through and, of course, re-redesigned it, and all these mechs look really sweet. So you get four mechs, and I think you get a few variants of each, three or four variants of each. So it's like a total of 12 or more mechs. Each one comes with a mech bay. You get 90 days of premium time, and it's $80, all right? And I'm thinking, well, kiss that $80 goodbye, because to put it in scale, right? They came out with one of the hero mechs. I forget what the name of it was, but it was the awesome that was a hero mech, and it was like $36 alone. Okay, and you're gonna get like 12 plus for 80, plus the premium time, which premium time is $2 a day generally in the price. So you're getting like 90 days of that. All That's right. $180 right there. So, okay. I mean, I didn't want to turn this into an ad for MechWarrior, but it's just a thing of like, I keep bringing that game up because I love it.
Right.
And I just can't believe that they figured out a way to suck $80 out of my pocket in one shot and not make me blink about it.
No, that kind of bleeds into our next story, because Star Citizen just had a campaign where they were selling the 300 series ship. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can upgrade. If you had gotten one in the previous Bounty Hunter tier of Kickstarter, you could upgrade yours. You could buy a whole new one for, like, I was looking. Did you see the commercial they did for that, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Dude, here, check this out. I want to get your reaction. They made it like a car commercial.
And, oh, that's awesome.
And it's fantastic. And this is in-engine. This is in the game engine. So
I love it when games imitate like bad reality.
Yeah. So this is
for humorous reasons.
So this
right?
is just like a car commercial. So I want to kind of go watch it right now. I want to kind of get your reaction.
Oh yeah. I'm already going.
But yeah, this is all in engine. And I was just about to pull the trigger. Even I'm getting a freelancership and I was just about to pull the trigger.
Oh dude, freelancers on the news list, that mod.
Oh yeah. The elite one. We'll get there.
Yes. Yes. So, apparently, you have to scroll down. Wow, that is a good looking ship.
It's
dude.
It's a gorgeous.
That is
gorgeous
amazing.
Ship. I love.
Oh wow! Whoever did the animation for this commercial, I wonder if they are not a pro in that part of the industry.
I don't know
because because it's like, well, I'm like an artist, so I'll work for game stuff, but I'm not exclusively games. So if somebody's got a car commercial they want me to lay out, I'll do that too.
Yeah, because they really
because this guy knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, they hit all the notes with getting a car commercial, and it's beautiful. And again, all in the actual game engine that we're going to be able to play next year. So
wow,
stunning!
This is melting my face.
I know. It is totally. I'm building one of the main reasons I'm going to be building a whole new PC next year. It's for this game. It's like
Does he have a release date, or is it just, you know, 2014 sometime?
It's just 2014 as far as I know. But
I wonder if like beta access is going to come in before.
Yeah.
You know, like they're going to let people like a select group of testers are going to get access to this.
Oh
first.
No, you get beta access if you kicked it, I believe. So I'm going to be getting beta access.
Awesome. Nice.
And yeah, like January, I think they start that. So yeah, it's going to be like the old Wing Commander days where you built a new PC for like the new Wing Commander game. Remember that? Like, oh, Wing Commander 3, I need a 386. Oh, Wing Commander 4, I need a 486, you know?
I know. Wing Commander, well, just all the Origin games were always the ones that when they were new, they ran like shit on my computer. And then like a year later, I'd get a new computer and be like, hey, let me get that game out that I couldn't play. I remember like System Shock 1, the original one, ran like it. Dog on my machine, and then whenever I got a computer that could actually play it with like 30 frames a second, it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So they just had that campaign, and apparently it sold well. I don't know if you could still buy it. Oh, you still can. Oh, I shouldn't be seeing this right now.
Oh no,
because you can get the top tier Origin 350R, which is like super speed luxury racer ship for like $100, or I could get like the Explorer ship for like
So is the top tier the high point that I come in that I'm getting the tangible rewards in the game, but I'm not getting like, I don't know, something that I wouldn't even want, right? But I'm actually getting in-game property. Okay, what's the highest that tiering goes? Is that like the $100?
Oh, during the Kickstarter that was maybe 300 or 400.
Oh, so what do you get at like 300 or 400?
You get a constellation, which is basically the Millennium Falcon of the game. It's this big cargo carrying ship with a snub fighter hangar inside, multiple turrets that you could walk around. I think it was $300 and you got the constellation.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to have a lot of faith in the Robert's name.
I got a friend who not only has bought that ship, but he's bought a few others since. And I am really tempted to get this 300. I can get the base 300i added onto my existing account for $55. It is really tempting.
So if this game comes out and it sucks, basically, that's going to be the end of space games forever because everybody who loves space games will simultaneously synchronize, jump off a bridge together.
Let us not
holding hands.
Let us not talk about that. I don't want to go there. So the next bit of news, it's a little one, but you remember Rogue System? You remember Mike? We talked to him a while back. He was one of our earliest podcasts, I think. He apparently is getting an Oculus Rift, so he'll be eventually, I'm guessing, adding support for that to the game, which is awesome. Oh, cool.
I hope he gets the one that's 1080p, because that's the new spec. The old ones were like, I don't know what, you know, 640 by 480.
Yeah, I heard they had the 1080p ones at E3, and they were really nice. That's what I heard.
Yeah, so what I've heard from this is that the Oculus Rift is basically two cell phone displays that's in there. Which makes perfect sense, right? They build it from commodity parts.
Yeah.
So very cool.
Yeah.
You know, the topic that you skipped, the most important one all night, is endless space.
Oh,
so your brain just skipped right
over. You're right. My brain totally went over that because I played some of the new expansion. It's like Star Drive. It's like the game could be great if they just fixed some shit.
So what does the new expansion
bring?
It's
called it brings a new race, the Harmony.
Mm-hmm. And now, they don't use the dust resource,
They
don't operate on money.
No, they don't use dust, so they can't hire heroes, and they can't retrofit ships and all that kind of stuff. But the nice thing is their ships have no upkeep costs. So you can just churn out ships like there ain't tomorrow.
Because you don't have to worry about fleet size affecting.
Exactly. So I did that a bit, and
So does that mean that they become like a Zerg Rush of a shit ton of little ships with a couple cap ships?
I don't know. I didn't get that far because I stopped caring because the AI still sucks. It still sucks because some people said the AI is worse. I only played it for a few hours just to do a preview, but like I remember in my original game, the AI would just put some ships in your system and sit there. Do nothing. Just sit there. Okay. Mm. They still do that. I don't know why
that's
annoying.
But
they still do that. They just sit there waiting for you to attack them or something.
Do you know how we can fix this?
Play multiplayer?
We can fix this. We will play multiplayer.
But that's no excuse.
At the top of the episode, we'll play Eye of the Tiger, right?
That is no excuse for bad game design. That is no excuse.
It's true. Well, AI. if they're if their AI sucks, they should hire somebody and get that AI fixed.
I know, but like someone was saying it was actually worse. Who played a little bit who played it on the impossible difficulty. I haven't done that.
Wow.
Yeah, like it's weird. Like they have this new adaptive diplomacy system, and I don't remember this from the original game, but like it would tell you you're standing with this race has gone up, you're standing with this race has gone down, but it doesn't tell you why. It just tells you they like you more, they like you less. Why do they like me less? I didn't do anything. Like they're like three turns went by where I didn't do anything.
So this sounds. This game is very accessible, right? And the battle system is basically made to be a quick resolution multiplayer thing. It's got a little bit of bling.
But
I bet if you – I'll have to look at the multiplayer options. Like can you play by email? Can you
– I don't
think
whatever. You can.
Because this would be awesome for like a 6 or 8 player game. But it would be like the rest of our lives to resolve that. Or, yeah. Because it takes 100 turns before anything good happens.
Yeah.
So, okay. But anyway, the challenge is out there, right? Like, I still want to play this game with you.
God damn it.
So, and if the AI sucks, then that's fine.
I would rather play Independence War 2 with you than play...
Oh, yeah, that game.
Yeah, I'm going through that right now.
I got to get on it.
No, I've been getting on it. I have to get to the part where you're a Wanya.
No, I mean, I need to get to it.
No, we're going to play it together, so I need to get to a certain point, then we're going to play together over Google... Hangout.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
I had to get to that point.
Well, still, I need to get the game out myself. It's installed. I just went through that whole format. Did I talk about that last
week?
Yeah,
you did.
Where I dropped the box down and went to Linux.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. I'm recovering. It's okay now. You know, and Windows is essentially a Xbox One. You know, it's a Steam box. That's what it is because everything... You know, I just reinstalled all my Steam crap, and I gave it like 500 gigs, and the rest of the machine is devoted to Linux now, so we're good. So now I'm a big fan of what's going on in Steam with indie games and Linux support, right?
Yeah.
So and all the humble bundles that have Linux games, I'm in the target market now. I am the demographic.
Yeah, I just did a bundle today that had like Star Wolves 2, that was like the space game I had, but it was like a bunch of games, all Steam codes, $2.50. It's ridiculous. It's all these bundles and these indie.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, it's all these cool little games, and you basically get so many of them shoveled at you in these bundle deals.
Yeah.
It's awesome because there's some, like, if I had to make hard decisions about buying, well, do I get this game for $10 or this game for $7 or. Or which, you know, I don't really feel like going for both, and I'll probably never play them or whatever. But the way that Steam gets you is they have so many games so cheap, it's like, I better get it now while it's cheap.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's $2.50. I might never play it, but you know what? It's $2.50.
Exactly.
Okay. So you get into those humble bundles, and then it's like, oh, wow, I could do this for $1. I'm not that cheap of a bastard. I should give them $5. Well, shit, I'm getting 10 games. I'll give them $20, right? You know, maybe they're giving it to Child's
and
Play
you
or
still
something.
And you still got 10 games.
I know, right? And then it's like, it basically amounts to like 8 games I'll never play.
Exactly.
Because I just don't have time. But the backlog nags at me. Like, I look at my Steam list and I'm just like, oh my God, I never finished any of this. You know, they could quit making games today and I would probably die with half my backlog.
I say it's not a backlog, it's a collection. That's how I look at it, because, yeah, I'm a digital pack rack when it comes to games.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all better now, though. Thanks. You cured me.
Yeah, there you go.
I have no more guilt.
You should have more angst about having a backlog, because it's a collection. But
Void Destroyer.
Yeah, they made their goal like yesterday. Yay! And now they've already launched. Now they've launched. They're talking about stretch goals, and one of them will be like a privateer type system, which is kind of nifty. I would totally play that, but I'm already in. So yay! Good job, Paul.
Yep. And then there's Ring Runner.
Yeah, Ring Runner is. They just announced today. After I did the news, they announced their final release date as July 9th. So like a week and a half away.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So is it going to be available only through their site, or their green light goes live on that day too?
I'm not sure, honestly. Let me look at this press release here. Okay. It'll be available on GOG, Amazon, Green Man Gaming, Gamersgate, and Desora.
Okay, that's fine. You know what? GOG, I don't remember if they remember your credit card info. And
I just use
PayPal,
but...
Okay. But do they remember your payment info so you can be kind of like one click with it?
I don't think so.
Okay, because it's like it's been a long time since I bought something from them.
Dude, it was like Witcher 2. Have you seen their sale lately? Jesus Christ.
Oh, they had a crazy ass sale, yeah. But I'm just wondering about like the impulse stuff, right? See, Steam has this client on my machine constantly, and GOG doesn't. So if Steam's got a sale going on, it's in my face because I sit down at the computer and it's like, bloop, comes up from Steam. Hey, we're having a crazy ass sale. Look at all this stuff for a buck, right? And then they get me, right? So I'm in the habit of like cruising Steam on the weekends just to see what their specials are. That it's genius how they do that because they do their midweek thing and they, you know, they keep me looking at the site.
Right.
So GOG needs something like that, but I really don't need another terminate and stay resident kind of system tray app either.
They do have a downloader you can download, which makes downloading their games easier, especially if they're larger games. Like
yeah.
I got the Arma 2 bundle the other day, which is a 12 gig thing. And if you download it separately, it's like in 8 chunks, but the downloader just downloads it all at once. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm excited about it because I loved Operation Flashpoint, so these are the same people. So what are we on now? Retro Booster. You were talking about Retro Booster. You were looking at the video.
Yes, well, that's the thing, and it fell in the notes, like right underneath Ring Runner, because it has a very Ring Runner vibe to it. I was looking at this thing, and I'm like, wow, it's Defender plus Gravatar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because Gravatar, if you remember that, it was like an asteroids kind of ship, and there was gravity that would draw you down into this asteroid.
I do remember
that. And it had like caverns inside, and you'd have to go in and retrieve the thing and then shoot your way out. Very cool. And this looks to be the same kind of deal because it's kind of like an asteroid slash corridor shooter with a Newtonian physics ship going on.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. I've played the demo a bit. It's fun. It's hectic. It's fun. But that was before I had a gamepad, so I should try it again with the gamepad.
Yeah.
Even with the keyboard, it was a fun time. So yeah, download the demo. I think you would dig it. Let's see. Freelancer. There's a new mod called Mostly Harmless that apparently tries to bring the Elite universe into Freelancer.
Yay!
I love that people are doing this shit. I love that because Freelancer is 10 years old. Did you know that? It came out in 2003. It is 10 years old, and that game is still kicking thanks to mods. I get people asking me every now and again, is there a digital version I can get on like Steam or something? No. Fuck no, there isn't. And that's depressing as hell because people would buy that shit.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And there's so much mod stuff that's out there.
Oh, my God. There are so many good mods for that game. The Free Worlds one especially that's coming out with all the Star Wars ships. Have you seen that one? Looks amazing.
Nope. That's awesome.
That's been in the works for a while now.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, the people that don't have it, I mean, I'm sure that you could probably go on Amazon and get it used
for a couple bucks or whatever. But still, I would love to be able to just put that on Steam. Just get it on Steam or GOG even and just download it. Have a digital version. I mean, I can install my CD version and, like, install the no CD patch. It's fine. Sure. But I mean, they should put it on GOG and Steam because people would. I own the disc and I would pay $10 for another copy.
GOG was made for this. That's the specific mission of that website.
I know. And
I wonder what's going on license wise. Like, what's tying it up?
It's Microsoft. They just did the Age of Empires 2 HD, and apparently that did well. So,
oh God! So they're just trying to keep a hold of everything, and just on the option.
I guess so, but that did well apparently. So apparently, there's rumors that we're going to get Rise of Nations and Age of Mythology, which I would love that so much because those are. Did you play those back in the day?
Rise of Nations, I did.
And Rise of Nations,
Age of Myth, I messed around with the demo. It looked very interesting.
Age of Mythology is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. That deserves a new life. But yeah, Freelancer is 10 fucking years old and people are still making mods for it and everything. And it's wonderful because
it's one of the only games that's like that that has ever been made.
Yeah.
And I think it was the first game that I ever had to fly with a mouse.
Yeah. I mean,
I was standing at E3 2000.
Yeah.
And I'm playing this thing and I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm used to a joystick.
I need a joystick. Yeah, what is this mouse bullshit? I need a joystick.
Yeah, and of course now, that's great. You know, fine. So because I think honestly, a computer's going to be flying the ship anyway. It's not going to be
exactly
responding directly to my
my joystick. Exactly.
Yeah,
But I still think that Freelancer probably has still the best mouse control scheme or feel of any game like that.
Yep. That's huge.
Yeah, other games have tried to emulate the Freelancer style mouse control, and no, they haven't exactly done it because Freelancer just got it right, and it just shocks
me. I wish I had like my movie quotes bin. I'd be like, they tried and failed. They tried and died.
What's that from?
God, I can't remember. It was some terrible movie that we watched. But anyway.
But yeah, so I need to try this mod because that's awesome. The last mod I played had like 800 various Star Wars ships and shit. And it was like amazing because every base would have a different ship you could buy. And that's one of the beauties of it. It's like, you gotta try them all. So I would just go from base to base. Like, I want to try that ship.
You know what it was? It was Dune.
That was Dune?
It was Dune, yeah. Because when she's putting Paul Atreides' hand in the box, see, everybody that's listened to the podcast that heard me say that and not know where it was from, their head exploded before they got to this part.
They're yelling at you right now. They're in the car yelling at you.
It's cool. I remembered it was Dune. Because, the Reverend Mother's telling Paul to put his hand in the box, right? And
it's been so long.
or it was either, was it that or when she was talking about the water of life? It's one. Oh yeah, yeah. It's the Kwisatz Haderach speech that she was given, and she's like, he said something about, well, they tried and failed, and she's like, no, they tried and died. Just one of the best lines in the movie. But anyway, do go on.
So anyway, I think that was all the space game news we're going to talk about.
We should talk.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say we should talk about Endless Space again because
God,
you
hate
it so
no, much. It's I don't hate it.
Can we just get five more minutes?
I don't hate it. That's the problem. The problem is it could be good. It's like Star Drive. It could be good. You can tell that people cared about this. You can tell that there's love in here. There's care. You can tell that people cared about this shit. And just these weird design decisions like bad AI or weird interface or whatever. Mm. Like all these just weird decisions just drag it down more than it needs to be. It's like, oh, this is so sad.
Okay. I just like to hear the Trail of Tears. That's all.
Some people blame Iceberg Interactive because that and Star Drive are both published by them and they were both, I think, released too early. Yeah. They could have used more time in the oven.
But the thing is, did development stop? Obviously, like the AI took a step back.
Well, with Endless Space, saying, they have been releasing these little free content packets. This is like the first paid expansion. So with Endless Space, development has not stopped. With Star Drive, I don't even know. Like someone just asked me on a forum what's going on with that, and I haven't heard Diddly Squad in like a month or two. So I don't know if he's planning his big old patch or what. But yeah, there's been nothing. I should check out the official forums on that one. But yeah, they've kind of gone dark.
Yeah.
It's just a shame.
Well, I don't know. It'll pick up eventually. I mean, I'm hoping they're working on some messianic patch for Star Drive.
Yeah.
Because it's got so much potential that, I don't know. What I wanted that game to be is Master of Orion 2, where I could jump in and fly around my ship.
I felt like that's kind of what they were going for.
Yeah.
But...
Like a lot of the racial animations and stuff, I looked at that and I was like, oh, exactly. Wow, they're doing like an MOO2
But the
feel.
Problem is the direct ship control, like shit was so hectic on the screen, like it didn't matter. Like,
yeah, can you pause the game
and then give orders
to all your guys?
Yeah, you can, but if you're still controlling your one ship, you still have to fly it around and target the one ship and blah, blah, blah. It's, it's a mess. It's a confusing mess. I mean, I would love it if it worked, but it doesn't. And so it's
right.
I
would almost want it to be like a Star Control 2, but you could have multiple ships that were in flight around your mothership.
Yeah.
And then they would interact, and then you could just pause the game and possess one of your subships and fight as it. But, you know, because the mothership's not really going to engage, it's more like an aircraft.
Well, that's
carrier.
More Void Destroyer now. I'd say that does a better job of that than Star Drive does.
Yep. So,
but Void Destroyer is not trying to be a 4X. Well, yeah. Not really.
I'm just looking at like, because even in the beginning of the real time strategy games, like with Herzog's Way, that's where you had an airplane and you would fly back to the base, which could just as well be the mothership, and then you would drag your turrets out and place them and whatever. So you played one unit,
right?
That you would have to go out and place your crap on the battlefield. So it's kind of, I don't know. That's why I had great excitement and great hope for this thing, and I still hope that they will turn it around. Do you hear me?
No,
turn it around.
I hear you.
So, I must speak about the iPad.
That's fine.
The wonderful.
That's fine.
The wonderful spacey game that is Terrestrial Combat, XCOM, is finally on the iPad and the iPhone.
It's on the iPhone?
Yep. In fact, the same executable. Now, what? Are you sitting down? Hold on to your socks.
Okay.
It's $20.
Well, it's not unreasonable, even though it's
not unreasonable, although it's kind of getting into discount land, right? Like on the PlayStation, it's free.
Yeah.
If you have a PS Plus membership, yeah, that was this month's free game.
That was totally one of them, and I downloaded that.
Yeah, and normal price on that game is like $39. So,
and it's been on sale
right there
on Steam and whatnot for like much cheaper than that.
Yeah, but at $39 value, right there, bam, you paid for your PS Plus, and it's like, you know, $10 more, but what do you get, like 20 more games and some Vita stuff? And
Yeah, great. like this month it was, I just signed up for PS Plus, and I also got Deus Ex and Saints Row 3 and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah, PS Plus is the shit. We'll talk about that
great.
In a bit.
Yeah, because, well, the next thing in the notes is I want to talk about the Vita that you got, so, yay. But anyway, so you got this XCOM for the iPad, just came out. I've been playing it. And I find that the graphics, the textures, are a little bit lower res than what you would have on a PC with maxed out settings. I would say it hovers somewhere between like low and medium on the texture settings, just because how much RAM do they have to play with, right? So they're doing this. It blows my mind that they're doing all this in like, what, 512 megs of RAM or something?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a gig of RAM, tops.
Right.
So that's pretty hot. Unfortunately, the bad part of that is that there is so much to load that if you quit out of the game and then go back in, you basically have to sit through the introductory animation, that whole sequence, because they use that to mask the loading screen, you know, but it's actually loading the game while it's playing that video. So it's unfortunate. There is no like skip the first cutscene. You're stuck. But for what you get after that, it's fine. And it's got kind of long load times in between missions.
That makes sense.
But again, you're on a tablet, right?
Right.
And this starts to show the line between what goes on a desktop and what your compute, you know, your video game console in the living room, and what goes on an iPad. As far as now, you can see the exact same code run on the PC, your PlayStation or Xbox, and your iPad/iPhone. So that opens itself to nice comparisons,
right?
In there, but yeah, I was hoping that since it was like flash memory on the iPad, it would just be like almost instant loading, like almost off an SSD. But I'm wondering if there's a lot of compression that's going on there,
probably,
because they also have like what, a 2 gig download limit or something imposed by Apple.
Really?
So they had to cram the whole thing into that. Yeah, somebody mentioned that. I'm not the iOS guy. We'd have to ask Josh for that one, but. I think that there is a limit on how big an application can be on the App Store.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I think it just like decompresses itself as it loads or something. So, but if you had a 16 gig iPad, and you wouldn't want the game to be like 12 of it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, I'm very happy with it. And the control scheme, I would say that if I had a touchscreen laptop, as are becoming more and more popular, if I had a touchscreen laptop, I would be positively bummed that I couldn't use the touchscreen interface in the game that the iPad uses, because it works really well, and it's mostly self-explanatory, or you can explore and figure it out.
Well, that's
cool. So, not too bad. Yeah, it's just like, tap your soldier, tap where you want him to go, hit the word move, and he goes. So,
another game like that came out recently, which apparently is really good. Frozen Synapse is also on the iPad.
Yeah, that was good.
And
that was out on Steam like long time
ago. Yeah, I played the fuck out of that on the PC like 2 summers ago, and I eventually got burnt out on it. But yeah, that game is good. And apparently,
yeah, the thing that was so attractive about that game is how quick and easy the matchmaking and multiplayer was. It was really great. You just go in and just like, I want to play against a human being. All right, bang, you're in a match. Go.
Yeah, exactly. It just goes, and it's fantastic. I'm trying to look and see how big XCOM is normally. I'm actually quite curious.
I've got it installed on everything. Yeah, XCOM has officially become almost the new Angry Birds, because everything in my house will play XCOM now.
That sounds, jeez.
Which is great, man. I wish them the greatest of success with that game, because they made a hell of a nice game. And it's very rare indeed for seeing somebody go to a property that has been dead since like 1994 and actually resurrect something that's that old.
Well, let's not forget, right? Apocalypse, so 97, 98.
Still.
Or Interceptor, bringing the space games back. That's not
holy so. Crap. I can't even talk to you anymore.
That game had potential. No, apparently, according to the Steam page, XCOM, the PC version, takes up 20 gigs.
Yes.
Jesus.
See? And they give you damn near that whole game. Like, I think there's a couple of maps that are missing. There's some art assets that they had to let out. Well, yeah, because they can't give you a 20-gig game, right? Jeez. So I think what it does is it actually, like, is compressed and uncompresses itself as needed.
Really?
Yeah, I think that they got some funky stuff going on like that, because an iPad 2 only has 2 gigs of RAM, or maybe 1 gig of RAM. I think the original had like 512, and something like that. Very small amount of RAM in it. And then your storage space, right? So because like I said, if you have somebody that has a 16 gig maximum iPad, then you don't want the game wouldn't even fit in it. Right. So, yeah, I'm sure that it's like super heavily zipped, and that's probably what the long load times come from.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Whatever they had to do to shoehorn it into the platform, and I am super freaking proud that they did what they did with it, because it's you could hold that next to the PC version, and it's obviously the same game.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, does the new XCOM doesn't really have the random maps of the original?
There's some of it that is random. Yeah, I think what they did, it's like Lego blocks of maps. And yeah, I think it's kind of doing some of that. But I honestly need to play it more.
Right.
Because I've started many games. I don't do real well. But, you know, it's like I'll get up to the point where I've unlocked, you know, like the full squad size and stuff. But then something will happen. You know, my save file will go bad. I'll start playing it on a different device, right? Like, I go out to the Xbox, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, I can't import my save file from... Oh, that's another cool thing that this does, is it uses Apple's iCloud to save the game.
Right.
So you can be playing it on the iPad, and then you can pick up your iPhone and pick up right where you left off. So that's pretty cool. I wonder if there is a Mac client, because I could hit iCloud there and load it up. That would be great.
I think it does run on the Mac. I think you can.
Yeah.
Let me check.
I think it is. I know it doesn't run under Linux yet. Do you hear me? Linux.
I'm pretty sure it does. Hang on. Well, where are you? Okay, no, it only says...
We'll put it in the show notes.
It only says...
So, I want
to...
Oh, weird. So...
Anyway...
Vita games.
Well, yeah, it's funny. I was going to say, now that I have a Vita, I don't really feel compelled to want an iPad. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
You got something that plays some really good games.
It's a sexy little piece of kit.
The thing that's great about it is that it actually has physical inputs that you can interact with, rather than a glass screen that has a virtual joystick nub in it something. That's the only thing that bums me about the iPad. And there is rumor that Apple is going to like make their own external joystick gamepad thing, which would be great, because you have to have it officially come from the mothership. Otherwise, a lot of the developers won't support it, right? You'll have hit and miss support. But if you just say, like, this is an official Apple licensed joystick, okay, then it's mandatory it's going to be in your game, which would be great. I have an iCade for mine, and the games that support it, it does wonderful, but a lot of games just don't. So, and games that obviously should, things that are like emulations of an arcade machine,
right?
That probably should. but anyway, I won't name names. But anyway, Vita.
Yeah, it's very comfortable to use. It's got a gorgeous little screen. I've got a few games for it. Not only from PS Plus, but I downloaded a few. Like, I paid for a few, like, some PSP games like Valkyria Chronicles 2, and I got MotorStorm RC, which is a really awesome little, like, kind of Micro Machine style RC racing game. And
does the Valkyria Chronicles, is that the the war game where you like move soldiers around
base. Yeah, and I wasn't a huge fan of the first one on the PS3. It didn't fully click with me, but the second one looks nice. And I've also been playing, and it plays better than the first one. I think I might dig it a lot more. I've only played one or two missions so far, though, but the game I've been playing most is this game called Gravity Rush, where
really?
Like this kind of open worldy superhero-y game where you're this chick who can't remember who she is, but she can emulate gravity, so she could like float and hover, and she could also like thrust herself in a direction and kick things from the sky, and it's great. And so yeah, I've been playing the Vita here and there. I'm flying to Virginia for something next month, so that's going to be perfect for that. But
yeah, what part of Virginia?
Oh fuck, I don't know. It's for some kind of, where the hell am I going? I'm flying into Dulles for something. It's called Historicon. Mm-hmm. Matrix Games is going to be presenting some shit there. Like Buzz Aldrin's going to be there.
Oh, cool. Is this on the weekend?
No.
Or is it through the week?
It's like Thursday and Friday or something.
Yeah. You know what? Are you flying in early, like Wednesday?
I'm flying in Wednesday evening. Like, oh, God. Like Wednesday, like 9 o'clock I'll be getting in. But it's Fredericksburg.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate it's that late. Well, you know what the deal is? That's 3 hours from me, right?
Oh,
right. I would totally drive up there and then, like, you know.
Well, you could still.
We'd have, like.
We'll talk about that later. Like, but, yeah, it's Fredericksburg, apparently.
Yeah. Huh. Neat. So is it a thing that you need to get tickets to get into?
I have no idea. They're actually, it's been a while since I've had this happen, but they're paying for me to fly out there. It's
holy cow.
I know.
So this is like your job is sending you there?
Well, not really. I'm taking days off from my job to go.
Oh, so this is like a website thing.
Yeah.
You're going to be like a journalist.
I know.
Like
I have to get like
real
business cards and maybe a polo shirt.
Holy crap.
I know.
And a snuggie. You should get, dude, that's the merchandise. That's what you need to sell on the website is the Space Game Junkie podcast snuggie, the official snuggie of Space Game Junkie. Because then you can all wear your snuggies and be in the cult of Wing Commander.
No. No. I'm not doing that. But yeah, okay. So far, really digging the Vita. Not really much in the way of space games on it. There's Super Stardust, which I don't know if that counts. There's also a space shooter for $2, which is a little PS mini game, which is kind of fun. But that's really it. I was really hoping there'd be something like Star Trader type, Elite type thing on it. But there isn't so far. So that's kind of sad. I was really hoping there'd be just some kind of open game I could just dig into every now and again. But Spelunky is coming for it. That's apparently a very good roguelike. So I'm excited about that.
Well, how many games are actually out for the system now?
I was just looking at the store. Let me look at the store. I think it's a couple hundred.
Oh, really? Because whenever I went into EB... And I'm looking at the games in there, and it's just like they hardly had any.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of PSN games, too. Like, yeah, okay, I'm just looking at Vita games on the PlayStation Store. It's 162.
Wow. Like, but does that include, like, all the PS1 ports and that?
Or? Let me look. I'm going through the list. I just clicked PS Vita, so I don't know. A lot of these are just PS Vita. Like some of these are wacky, like... There's a farming simulator that just came out. Yeah, okay, a lot of these are PSP games as well, this is listing.
Okay. The PSP, see, this is what's kept me from buying a Vita, is the poor performance that Sony had with the PSP. I don't mean the poor performance of the PSP, but the poor backing that they gave of it.
There are a lot of games for the damn thing, though. There are a lot of games for the PSP. Like, I've bought two or three PSP games, and it's kind of weird putting them on the damn thing. You have to, like, download them to your PS3 and then copy them over to your Vita, which is a little weird. But, yeah, like, Valkyria Chronicles is a PSP game, and it works fine. And, like, one of the free games this month for PS Plus is God's Eater Burst, which is a PSP game. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of PSP games. There's a lot of games for this thing. And I have already, like, 8, and there's so many more I want to buy. But, yeah, I dig it. I dig the Vita a lot. I play a little of it every day. I'm thinking of actually taking it to work with me so I can play on my lunch break. That way I get a little bit of gaming in every day, and that would really feed my addiction.
You know, they need a mascot title, right? Like Mario or Sonic or something.
There is a little big. There is a little big planet for it. That's probably.
The rag guy.
Yeah, that's probably the closest they have.
Yeah, that's kind of that's okay-ish, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. I bought Little Big Planet. It was okay.
I wasn't hugely into it, but there's also like Ratchet and Clank is out for it. It's really kind of it though. It really isn't like a well, Farming Simulator is coming for it apparently. I don't know what that is, but
wow. Oh no, dude. Okay, I know how you roll with the Truck Simulator.
Now,
Farming Simulator is a combine and tractor simulation along the lines of
yeah. Apparently, you plow and cultivate your own fields.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. There's a demo.
I keep waiting on Sim Pimp to come out. That needs to be like a Retro City Rampage type 8-bit looking game. But it would actually be like you drive around and...
Well, there is Retro City Rampage for the Vita.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm talking about Sim Pimp.
Oh.
You could... It would be set in the 70s, and it would play like the Shaft music as you drive around in your caddy.
I don't know if that would... If that would, you know, like... I don't know. That'd be a Grand Theft Auto thing.
Apparently, perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps not politically correct. No. But, yeah.
Apparently, there are... versions of Grand Theft Auto for the PSP that you can play on the Vita, apparently. Mm. I don't know.
Is Snoop Dogg Way of the Dog out on the Vita?
I have no idea what that is.
It's a Snoop Dogg rhythm game.
There is a game called Men's Room Mayhem.
Oh, yes. That's awesome. That's all about urinal etiquette.
Yeah, and you're a janitor, and you have to keep the men's room clean.
It's amazing.
It's only at $2 right now on the Vita.
Well. That says
I'm not going to get it, but it's there. There you go. So you can get a farming simulator, or you can get a men's room janitor simulator for the Vita, or you can get some pinball games, or you can get like Guilty Gear, or you can get a mini golf game for $2. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff. They need to really more aggressively price their games, though. Like there's like two games I want, and one's like $20, and it was a PSP game that came out like 3 years ago, and it's still $20.
Oh, that's rough.
And then there's another game that came out recently, like Persona 4 Golden, that everyone tells me I need to play. It's $34 or $30. I'm like...
Yeah, well, you know, that's a thing, too, even on the 3DS, right? Because I bought my wife that 3DS.
Yeah.
And the games are like $40.
Yeah, they need to price
those. Like, my God.
Yeah.
If these games were like $15-$20, especially since the market that they're directly competing against... is the iPhone.
Exactly. They really need to price these things more aggressive.
And the iPhone, like, I could see a $30 game back before the App Store.
Yeah.
But now, you go on there, and God, I don't want to see freemium games, please. You know, some of them are great, but if it's, like, ad-supported stuff, that's why I don't have an Android. Right? Plain and simple. Everything is ad-based on an Android.
A lot of it.
I just have I have no interest in that experience. So, I don't mind... an impulse buy of $1.99, $5.99 sometimes if it looks really compelling.
Yeah.
And there are some games that are starting to get brave and come out at $5.99 or whatever. XCOM, $20, right?
Exactly.
Fine. But there is a bunch of stuff that's out there where it's a game that's paid, but they make it free for a day or something, and I'm signed up on some news lists where I get a list of, hey, this went free today, but it's going back to $5 tomorrow. And I'll just go scarf them up, right? And I think, honestly, that the iPhone is the greatest indie gaming platform ever right now.
Yeah.
Because it's a platform that is unified. Everybody that has that device has that store, and that's where they go, right? And then you can get in the pool and swim with the big dogs, even as an indie game at 99 cents. Right. You can be right next to the EA and Activision game.
Right
on the shelf, right? So, and the revenue model is not something that an indie developer has to figure out. They don't need like somebody to promote them and to do all the things, you know. And well, what do I do with a business license and all this stuff? I just want to make a game and stick it in a store somewhere, and I don't have to screw around with publishers and any of that. Like Apple made it transparent, so great. And that's why I'm kind of hoping. With the Ouya just came out, and I'm not sure if it's like Ouya or oh yeah, because you know it's a cell phone in a box that hooks up HDMI to the TV,
right.
And then they have, from what I've heard, a pretty chintzy controller, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I look at that and I see that's going to run all my Super Nintendo and Genesis and NES emulators.
Right.
I know right off the bat I'm going to play every freaking retro game that I own. All my ROMs are going on that thing, right? But beyond that, then what? You know, is all these games, I wish it was iPad compatible, you know, because I got some stuff on there that's awesome. I've got an investment in that already. But if I had an Android phone, I would be like, wow, do all my Android games, can I just throw them over to this thing or what? And I will say that it's an open platform, right? So unless they make you go through their store, if there's a way to sideload stuff, you know, people are going to be torrenting games and doing what they do, right? So it's going to be an open platform in that way. And if I can sideload stuff, that encourages me to code for it,
right?
Because then I don't have to pass my crap through the store. I can just, like, write some apps and stick them on there. Maybe I can distribute them outside, you know, like, here, these are free. I don't know. But it seems like a much more open platform than iOS, right? So I hope that that would get some traction. Hell, if it's just another box that plays Netflix and Hulu, people would buy it for that.
Right.
Because you can just stick functionality in it. Does it run Xbox Media Center? Sold. Have you ever messed with XBMC?
No.
Yeah, it's like that and Plex and, you know, the various things. But that's what I use on my home theater PC. XBMC, which is originally they wrote this thing to go on the original Xbox when people would root them and convert them over to being a MAME machine and a TV watching, like PVR. And it's just that software ported to the PC, the Mac, and Linux. And it's great because you can sit there with a remote control and actually, like, pull up shows, pull in movies from your server in the back room or whatever you want to do, right? So, yep, I'm one of them cord cutters.
And
that's right, I'm a hipster.
And, I use PS3 Media Server. Works great. But
that is pretty decent, yes.
But
it accomplishes the same thing.
But I was going to say, they just launched an indie they just launched on the PS, on the PlayStation Store, on the Vita, an indie section.
Which
is great. Yeah, it's all right there.
Well, that's kind of what they alluded to at E3 was going down, right? Because with the Xbone, Microsoft said that, oh, yeah, we're not doing that Xbox Live Arcade indie development stuff anymore, right? Not so much doing that. So it's gone. And then Sony, as with everything else that Sony did, they came out and they were on message about, oh, yeah, Microsoft did this. Oh, don't worry about it. We got it. You know, this thing you hate that they did? Oh, yeah, we got that covered. Right? That's why they won, because they addressed them point for point. So, yes, it would have been interesting if the press conferences had been reversed and Sony had to go on stage first. It would not have been the same. So whoever got them on second, master strategist, give that guy a raise.
Yeah. But eventually I'm going to get a PS4 as well. So with the combination of the PS4 and PS Plus, there's hardly any reason not to get a Vita, honestly.
Oh, absolutely.
And more games are coming out of it. I just read that Frozen Synapse, we were just talking about that, that's coming out for the Vita. And Spelunky's coming out for the Vita, and all these games are coming out for the Vita.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I wonder how much the integration between the PS4 and the Vita is going to be. Like, can it be used as a second controller?
I would love that. Nice. There is crossplay on the PS3, but I haven't tried it yet. But that'd be cool if it could be used as a second controller.
Yeah. And then, the thing is, the Vita plus the PS4 is everything that the Wii U is.
Yeah. Just
plus powerful. A PS4. Yeah.
Just more powerful. Just a lot more powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you see, by the way, speaking of the Wii U, that apparently Best Buy was sending back their unsold units en masse?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, we can't move this thing. Take them back.
Oh, no, that's sad.
So Nintendo needs to pull it out. Do you hear me, Nintendo? Pull it out. Get your shit together.
Poor Nintendo.
Mario's got a kitten suit. Okay. Mega Man's in the new Smash Brothers. Okay. Still haven't given me a reason to buy a Wii U. Say Metroid. Say it. Metroid. I'll buy a Wii U. I'll do it.
So, yeah. So we were going to talk about physics. Did you still want to talk about that?
Sure. Okay, so there's physics.
Yeah, physics in games.
That's what makes apples fall out of trees.
I know.
It's gravity.
There's always been kind of a schizophrenic relationship with physics in space games. Like, you have games like Independence War, Terminus, and such that are full-blown Newtonian, Ring Runner even. full-blown Newtonian bullshit. And there aren't a lot of those, which is really sad.
I think it scares the shit out of people, honestly.
Probably, maybe.
You don't want that as a bullet point on your box, unless you're trying for the SimHQ crowd. Then it's like, oh, Rivet Hunter or Rivet Counters Paradise right here, right? So,
yeah.
But it's like, you know, you think about that, like, oh, well, we have true Newtonian physics. Okay, this takes me back to Frontier Elite, right, where they had full Newtonian physics, and the ships were basically jousting with each other in Mach 2 flybys. Imagine, like, shooting at each other with pistols as you fly past at Mach 2.
Oh, no, I loved Frontier Elite 2, but Early 2 Frontier, I forget how to fucking say that, but I loved all the shit you could do in that game, but combat was terrible.
It was bad.
It was terrible.
So, yeah. But that's the thing, right? Whenever you look at a Newtonian physics sort of game like that, that's the first thought that I have is it actually in best service to the game to be that? Or is it because the guy making the game says, I believe that Newtonian physics is the only physics because anything else is gamey, right? But if the game that you're making is better off being gamey, then so be it.
Right.
You know, if it's in service of that. I don't know. I prefer semi-Newtonian because for the same reasons, right? Where it fits, and just have it there so it's the suggestion of, you know, as much physics as is interesting, but not so much that it is aggravating.
Yeah, there are a lot of games that do straddle that line, you know, between the two.
Well, and look at how Chris Roberts is solving that, right? You can hold a key and fly full Newtonian if you want. But
right.
the thing that the ship is doing when you yank and bank with the stick is actually a Newtonian physics model behind that. And if the thrusters get knocked off in certain areas, then you will witness what Newtonian things happen
as a
result of the damage that you have. But the ship tries to fly within the fly-by-wire constraints and make it a more aircrafty experience. But what I wonder about that is that experience, is that like training wheels, okay? And I can actually get more performance and have a better combat experience and feel like I have mastered the ship if I shut that off and actually fly at seat of the pants, you know, with the real physics,
right?
Or do I not get enough of a boost out of taking the training wheels off, and I'm better off just keep driving the automatic car?
My favorite,
because there's no performance difference.
My favorite is games that half-ass it, like games that are like, oh, you're gonna be flying around like a W-2 fighter, but if you hold down this button, you can slide. Oh,
well,
thank you.
God,
the
slide
so
is okay.
Much.
Slide is okay, but as soon as you let that button off, then it's like, oh, now I have to turn you to whichever direction you're facing.
Yeah,
right?
And exactly.
But it's not jarring at all. It's almost like you're a UFO.
I think it's kind of half-assing it. I'd rather they either not do it at all. You know, like, I never use it when I have that option. I never, ever use it.
You know what I use it for? Is I use it for strafe and cap ships. You fly down the side and knock all the turrets off.
I never even do that. I forget it's there. I always forget it's there. I never even bother. I never even freaking bother.
The problem is, against an AI that can actually lead a target, you're dead. As soon as you turn that slide on, it's just like, I'm going to continue slow and steady in this one direction, right? And my vector will remain the same. And any kind of targeting system that's at all competent, just pull the trigger, and it will not miss, right? So the AI should just brutalize you for using that. It would be a thing of like, oh, I could go strafe that cap ship, but don't get caught. So, and that's another thing, though, and that could be an advantage to going from the predictable flight model of, oh, yeah, I'm flying in the simulated aircraft experience, because the targeting computer on the other ship is going to be aware, oh, this is the performance constraints of that craft, and I know he can only turn this fast and bank this much and whatever, right? And I can calculate what his options are and fight him versus – and as a human player, I would be able to do that as well, right?
Right.
But I think you turn off the assist and you actually do the Newtonian thing, you might end up with very unpredictable results. Unfortunately, much to your detriment, they might be very unpredictable results unless you're good. So, yeah, it's just a thing of like, well, I can display more skill, but does that give me a tangible reward in the context of the game?
Yeah, like in Jumpgate, it used a mixed system. Like, it had Newtonian-ish physics, but it also had drag, which was kind of interesting.
But how do they explain the drag? See, that's the thing that makes my hair stand up. It's like, why? Why would I slow down?
Apparently, there's enough gunk in the universe that it doesn't prevent you from moving, but it gives there's enough gunk in the universe that there's resistance.
Okay, and I have been to Cleveland, and I can concur. So, I understand.
I just spit all over my microphone. That was funny. But, yeah, you know what? In that system, though, it didn't bother me, because I think it's like, oh, it's Newtonian plus this other thing. Okay, I can live with that, you know?
So, I thought that was so funny. Iwar was my first good experience with Newtonian.
Yeah, no, the first Iwar, oh, beautiful.
Well, you know what magically made it work? Is because the computer-assisted heads-up display would actually draw snake trails behind the ships.
Oh, I love that.
That was the best feature of that game right there.
I love that.
Because I could see what historically that ship had been doing.
Yeah.
I wish every space game. Do you hear me, Chris Roberts? Every space game did that.
Yeah, some do and some don't, but they need that, man.
It's so very, very helpful to the immersive an understanding, you know, just the immersion factor, because you feel like, oh yeah, this is what's going on, but you also have an awareness, right? Because when you have a wide open 3D space like that and there is no reference landmark or anything, you can't really picture what the ship has been doing, right? It's just like, where is it at the moment and what facing is it? That's basically all you can do. You can't like visualize like, oh, this guy has done a loop and a corkscrew, right? Because it just doesn't connect as if you had the ground below you.
Right.
So I think actually drawing the ribbons behind the ships, that was just a magical, like, I don't know, happy accident that they did. But nobody's really done it since, except for Iwar 2.
Yeah, and Iwar 2 has its own fun time. Like, there's a part where, like, I talked about this on the site. You're cruising along. You're doing your thing. You're in chapter zero, so it's supposed to be like an intro. Then all of a sudden, you have to sneak into this base with 9 ships.
Oh, God, the difficulty ramp at the end of that.
Yeah, you have to sneak into this base with 9 ships. And and nowhere does it tell you that if you... I had to actually fucking read this in a walkthrough, which I hate doing, but...
Reading is hard.
No, I just hate... It feels like cheating. But if you apparently...
Cheating's easy.
If you
Reading's
go
hard.
Slower, it like reduces your sensor signature or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. I had to read that in a walkthrough. I'm like, why didn't someone say that? I would have gone much slower. And I did. And I finally, through the grace of luck, made it out. The ships like found me just as I was leaving that 10,000 kilometer arbitrary, you can't jump radius around a base. So they only shot at me a few times before I was able to get the fuck out. But yeah, you have to go really slowly. It took forever. It took forever. And it's like, no, man, you don't ramp up the difficulty like that. Stop it. God. So that was annoying. That was very annoying. But yeah, most space games just don't even bother. I like to call it fuck off physics. They don't even bother with physics. Like, gotta love Free Space 2 and TIE Fighter. Love them to death. They don't have physics.
Nope,
they don't,
not a
they
bit.
They don't have any physics.
Well, you know, it was actually kind of shocking whenever X-Wing versus TIE Fighter came out, and then I don't remember if it was XVT that added, like, the turn radius got tighter the slower you went or not. Because it used to just be the ship would change heading at a constant rate despite the speed that you were going at, right?
Right.
And then in one of those, they said, oh, yeah, if you go faster, you turn in a larger radius.
Right.
You know, you're not as responsive. So then if you're in an A-Wing, right, you cut the throttle and then do a 180 and then slam the gas back down.
It's just great. So stupid.
But, yeah, I don't know. Those games were fun for their own sake as well, you know. But, yes, no physics whatsoever happening there. What would you think, like, give the Star Citizen engine a crack at a Star Wars dogfight, like the Battle of Endor, in a game that actually is doing the Newtonian calculations under the hood? That would be kind of amazing to see on a massive scale like that. And please do have damage for bumping into people.
It would be unwieldy. It would be unwieldy.
It would be like Galactos with Newtonian physics.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh God, we need to message them too and just be like, okay, we need a Newtonian physics mod just as a lark in there.
Did you play any more of that, by the way?
I played a little bit of it. I can't figure out what the victory condition is. Do you have to like blow all the guns off the turkeys?
I think you have to destroy the mothership, and the easiest way to do that is to first take out her turrets. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. I just keep waiting for Homer Simpson's hand to come in and snatch that donut. Mmm, donuts. That's great. That game is just like, it's everything that I enjoy about absurdity, plus a pretty fun space game. So it's all things that I like wrapped up with sprinkles.
I know. As much as I love physics and space games, I think I've always had just more fun without them. It's kind of sad.
So what about something like Ring Runner, where it's a top-down, but it's got the physics going on? Asteroids kind of game,
I think it works well. I think it works well because you really have to pay more attention. I think that works really well. Because that game, I mean, that game isn't just about shooting things. I don't know if you've seen, but, like, you can grab ships and throw them at things. So, like, there's a part where you become a gladiator, and the way you win is you grab a ship and you throw it at these spikes in the middle of the ring.
Nice.
It's great. Well,
there's the one weapon where you basically have a spiked steel ball that orbits your ship, and you just bang it into shit.
Yeah, that's something like that. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so great.
It's almost like it's on the border of it could become like the Carmageddon of 2D spaceship combat games.
It's pretty violent, but it's great. It's great. It is absolutely great. I love it to death because I can't wait for it to come out because, yeah, grabbing a ship and it takes finesse to do it, but grabbing a ship and being able to throw it at other ships, even. It's just a blast.
So whenever I used to play in the Starfleet Command, the league for that, there's a guy who still won't talk to me today because I used to tractor beam his ship and drag him into the sun.
What?
Like I'd be like in a Romulan and I'd stealth up to him and then I'd uncloak and tractor beam his ass and just drag him into the black hole.
Aww.
Or if there was like a gravity well thing that was in some of the maps. And it was like he never figured out how to break the tractor beam, right? So it was just like a guaranteed cheese that I could do. So
that was fun. All right, yeah. Why don't we wrap this up? Because I didn't put a lot of thought into that topic and I'm sucking at it, and I can't think of
But I think that we have managed to drag out that non-topic for an hour and a half.
Did we?
And I think, yeah, and that's more than enough for everybody got their money's worth, I think, this time, considering that it's free. We should make a freemium podcast. What kind of DLC could we offer?
We could take pictures of ourselves at various points in the podcast and release them to subscribers.
Oh, yeah, and if you pay twice as much, then you get, like, a digital mustache that you can apply to either of us.
No, a goatee for the evil.
Or a goatee, yeah, we could be the mirror universe.
Exactly.
And you could get the soundtrack, right? Like, if you pay, like, for a dollar more.
Exactly.
There's a lot of shows that I listen to that their donation suggestion is $1 a show.
Really?
And it's like, yeah. And that's pretty cool. Like for my movie show, that would get me like $10 a week. That's awesome.
I don't feel right about it. I don't know. I mean, there is a donate link on the site. So if people do want to help out with hosting or whatever.
Yeah. Has anybody ever done it?
A few people here and there.
Really?
Yeah. A few people.
You should mention them by name. Seriously, man. It'll be like Romper Room. It'll be like, get out your magic mirror. And it's like, I see Timmy and Billy and.
Oh, God. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Do you remember the bee?
The bee?
Doobie?
No.
Yeah, she had a guy in a bee suit that would come out in the, you know, and like dance around with the kids and stuff. And his name was Doobie.
What?
And I'm thinking, you know what? This was the 70s. And there was nobody except for maybe the kids that didn't know what Doobie means. So, and it hit me like in my adult life. I was just like, really?
Doobie.
Shocking. you know, it's just the subversive shit that they used to put in kids' shows. It's great. And you know, we think like Pixar and Disney do this with adult themes that are kind of like sub themes in cartoons now. And we're just like, oh, yeah, that's the new thing. 1974. Doobie.
Well, there were some weird fucking shows in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Hey, have you ever seen the Rainbow Twanger episode of, I forget what that show was. It was like a Muppet Romper Room kind of Mr. Rogers show from the UK.
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it was something rainbow. But anyway, they did an episode that was perverse, and they kept it around like this is the unaired secret episode. So I don't know where the footage came from or whatever, but it was apparently something that they did as a joke, and it never made it on TV. But the tape was still around, and somebody YouTubed it. And shocking. We'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, yes. Email me a link. But yeah, let's wrap this up. It's getting late, and we have talked about. This has been a one long episode of Seinfeld because they're going to talk. It's nothing. The show's about.
What was your favorite Seinfeld
episode? I never got into Seinfeld. I tried, and it just. I think it was the nothingness that didn't click with me.
Yeah, well, it was basically like a lot of nothing happened, as written by Larry David.
Yeah, and so. I tried getting into his other show, and I ended up kind of hating him. So yeah,
I think that was kind of bad for his career. But yeah, because everybody's like, oh, Larry David, what an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. I got uncomfortable watching. I'm like, wow, this guy.
He wrote himself terribly. He was unkind. But anyway, yeah, I think the favorite one of mine was whenever I don't even know their names on the show, but I won't even butcher it by like trying. But anyway, the guy that's not Seinfeld, the bald guy.
Oh, George? Right.
Yeah, George. George had won. Well, there was two episodes. There was the one where George was like sleeping under his desk at work. Mm-hmm. That was great. And then the other one was where George had got a Frogger machine. And they were trying to get the Frogger machine across the road, and they did an aerial view of them, like, trying to push a Frogger machine through
traffic.
I heard
about that. I heard that was very clever.
Yeah, that's the only two episodes of Seinfeld I've ever seen.
Oh. Right.
So, yeah, the only ones that I remember. Like, I'm sure that there were bits and pieces of other ones, but that's the only part that stuck.
Mm.
So there you have it.
There you have it. All right, folks.
So, next week.
Next week, we are going to have, as far as I know, we're going to have the folks on who are doing the Enterprise. So we're going to have them on next week. And in a couple weeks, we should have some of the folks behind Distant Worlds on as guests.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because, you know, I love that game. So
I have heard.
So, yeah, folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or RSS, and you can contact us at hail@spacegamejunkie.com, or you can leave your comments below. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, night, thing, wherever you are.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing.
I bet sunshine down, but I see only one. Trying to think I'm over you. I find I've just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no warmth in the light. How I miss those desert skies. You're